بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Ta'ala's love for His servants is far greater than the love the servant has for himself. It is on account of this love that Allah Pak has for His servants that He creates procedures and He creates systems. And these procedures and these systems need to be followed. When we are confronted with a situation, then we want to take the right procedure. Man is doing business. At the time that he is doing business, then he is quite serious, he is focused, and he follows a certain system. If someone is becoming too casual with him, or is playing around, then first he will try and avoid the person respectfully. And if he can continues, then he says, "But you see, I'm doing business here. It's not a barber shop." So you try to impress upon the person that what I'm doing is quite an important thing. It means much to me. Though you are showing a disregarding attitude, but to me it's a very serious thing. Because I know if I will be serious and I will be following the right procedures, what I will see at the end of the month, I know about it. Right? That at the end of the month, if I follow it rightly, that my goods are before the client, before the customer, if it is marketed well, if it's presented well, and the service is good, the price is right, then there are all the reasons for the customer to come into the shop. Why? I had followed the right procedures, got the shop at the right spot, I got the marketing done well, I got the presentation done well, I got the prices right. Now, these are all the reasons for the customer to walk into the shop. Right? Now, if I don't do the right procedures, and then I expect things to happen for me, then he says, "Bhai, you aren't following procedures. Do it properly, you will get people buying it. The commodity is sold all around at 10 rands, and you are selling at 50 rands. You say, "No, this is how good this thing is." Or you haven't done a feasibility study and you just opened a shop in an area. Right? So they were all wrong procedures. Do it well. Qaide ke muwafiq karo. Do it right. So in dunyavi matters, the one important thing we do follow is system, procedures, protocol. Don't we follow it? We all follow it. If it's a child that is working for his examination or that is moving towards his examination, then he doesn't want to be interrupted, he doesn't want to be disturbed, and he wants to concentrate on his work because his work means much to him. So working towards the hereafter, the first thing that is required is right procedure. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعَيَهَا. An effort, the effort that is right, not just any effort. Right? I saw, for example, a doctor, and the doctor was administering an injection to a patient. And I think to myself, what is so serious about administering an injection? And I just take any injection, I try and inject it, what will happen? I may kill the patient, because I don't know about it, what I'm injecting, how to inject, when to inject, and what type of a patient to inject with, what type of an injection. So I didn't learn all these things here, and I just want to imitate. So, in every facet of life, Allah Pak wants you to follow some type of a procedure, not just any effort. Here, the one that is administering the injection, he is doing some effort, isn't he? The one is opening up a big shop, in the middle of nowhere, he is doing some effort. It cost him some money, some effort, some pain to go and open the shop at the spot. But was the effort right? The effort wasn't right. Okay. The one that is getting administered for some type of a sickness, right? And he says, no, no, my mother always uses Zambak, you know. So now he's got a heart attack and he's taking Zambak and he's applying it. And taking one, two disciplines. You know, my mother always told me, you know, use this thing here. So he is engaged in some effort. Isn't he engaged in some effort? But is the effort right? Can you dispute the fact that he is not engaged in an effort? You can't dispute the fact. But is that the right effort? So the effort is not right. So Allah Ta'ala is asking you, وَسَعَالَهَا سَعَيَهَا, that your effort that you are using, the striving, must be right as well. You can't just engage in any type of effort and say, Allah, no, I did try. Now if I'm a failure, but Allah, you can't fail me because I did try. So Allah's question was, to you will be, was the effort right? وَسَعَالَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Look at that word, look at the construction, it's a مفعول مطلق. خاص قسم کا, خاص قسم کی محنت, not just any محنت, not just any effort, a proper effort. So, just, you know, trying to justify your stance saying that I made an effort, that is not sufficient. Was the sufficient, was the effort a right effort? So in all our mundane affairs, we know that we need to make an effort and that effort needs to be right. Otherwise, it is not right of me to have expectations when the effort is not right. Now, it's a matric student and is nearing his examination. And as he's nearing his examination and he is not paying attention, not no concern, no fikr, he is not working his assignments, not staying up, not researching, not going through his books, and then he fails, so he cannot say that Allah, it was Allah's taqdeer, I had trust in Allah, that was sufficient now, and therefore I failed. He can't say that. The simple question that will be put across to him, did you make the proper effort? You're running a business, right? So you'll have a system in the business, won't you? Right? And if it is a person that is coming into a business, he's opening up at 9 o'clock, whereas the shop is supposed to be opening up at 7 o'clock. He's opening up at 9 o'clock, and at 10:30 he's having tea break for 2.5 hours. He's opening up again after Zuhar, say, have Zuhar. See, Allah will give, read your Zuhar namaz, have 1 hour of Qailula, and come back at 2 o'clock. Right, and after Asr, sit for the talim, and then after Maghrib, sit for the ghash, the shop is closed. Now he doesn't see the money, right? He doesn't see money after that. And what will you tell him? That the effort wasn't right. Won't you tell him that much? Or one customer is coming, saying, no, take it for cost. Swaniya say, no, you can pay, payable when able, whenever you're able. 10 years also, it's alright, no problem. I get sawab for that. See? Another customer came, you sold him half the price. So is the shop going to run? What will you say? This is a business, it's not a barber shop. Won't you say that? So there you understand that you have to have a system. You have a system, the shop is going to work. You don't have a system, the shop is not going to work. And the system has to be right. You can't say, no, Allah, I made the effort. I opened the shop. I made the effort. So why aren't you giving me rosy? Can you ask Allah like that? You can't ask Allah. Why? Because you didn't apply the right type of system. The person that is writing his exam, he didn't apply the right system. The person that opened the business, he didn't apply the right system. So the shop closed down, you will not say that this was my taqdeer. You will say that he did not apply the right type of a system. The right approach wasn't applied. Because he failed to apply the right type of approach, this was the result. So in deen as well, وَسَعَالَهَا سَعْيَهَا. You can't just say Allah Ta'ala that I made an effort. So Allah Ta'ala, now you show me the results. In fact, in deen even more. Here in dunya, Allah says, أَجْمِلُ فِي الطَّلَبِ. In your dunya, then just be brief in your effort. A little bit of an effort is enough. Right. But now remember, when you're going on a brief effort, right, then your eyes mustn't be focused on anybody. Otherwise, one person heard from the Mulana, you know, Allah Pak dene wala Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak will give. You don't worry, Allah Pak will give. So what he said, no, I learned the lesson that Allah Pak is the giver, so I don't need to make any effort. What he did, he closed his shop, the little shop that he had, that he was making 50 rand, 100 rand, and just breaking even, he closed his shop. So Allah Pak will give. So, one day nothing coming, second day now, in that ghabrat, he started getting jullaf. You know, he's getting so overcome with anxiety that he's got diarrhea now. So the wife told him also, the diarrhea is too much now, the whole house is stinking now, go outside. Go near that well. Now, you talk of India, go near that well. So whenever you got that diarrhea, you can wash yourself also nicely, but the stench, I can't manage it any longer. You go there and sort yourself out. So he's there, and at the right spot he's there, where travelers are going through, they will come, they'll stop over, they'll drink from that well, they'll eat their lunch and they'll move. So now he's planned it out already in his mind. Okay, when they'll see me there like a bichara, they'll pass one roti, two rotis, they'll pass and they'll move. So everybody's coming in, and they're having the water, they're having their lunch, and they're facing in the opposite direction. So nobody's turning towards him. So anyway, carried on for the whole day, now third day, no food coming in. So as the last traveler is going on that way, so he says, now I can't manage it, so he coughed a little bit. The person turned around, oh, bichara, he's sitting down here. Let me give him half my lunch. Give him half the lunch. So he had the half the lunch and he's very satisfied. So he comes to the Mura, what you said is right. But zara kankalna bhi parna padta hai. You have to cough a little bit as well. So if you don't have that level of tawakkul, you cannot say, now let me go brief straight away. You are living in the laps of luxury from there. One shot, you want to go right down. Then you need to have that capacity, you need to have that strength. But you don't have that strength, and from this level you can write down, can you manage it? So, the ulama will tell you that come down, but come down gracefully. Do how much you can manage, leave out luxuries here and there, and come down gradually. And if you want to come down on a speed, you need that level of tawakkul. Like in our mechanical terms, you want to come down speed, then you need that level of brakes, that level of resistance. Otherwise you want to come at an abrupt end, you can't manage it because your brakes are not so sharp. So here your tawakkul is not so sharp, so you can't come right down one go. You have that level of tawakkul, is very good. But you don't have that level of tawakkul and you try one shot, then that's not the right thing for you. So you see, Allah Pak system, ye andaazun nahi chalta. It doesn't go without any system. There is a system in it. And you need to understand the system. And the system comes with time. Time, you give us time, sit down, and understand, try and understand the concepts, apply it, gradually come. Then eventually with a period of time, with the passage of time, now you begin to understand that this is a system, how it follows. You just learn one thing, I learned it, now I'm going. How can you work it? A small little heart problem, the doctor will say you'll have to book in for at least 7 weeks. Treatment, recuperation, all that he will say, you need some time. I said, no, do it for me, 5 minutes, do it for me. 5 minutes, what you'll understand? Nobody disputes the fact that Allah Pak does. But the doctor also knows you need 7 weeks, 6-7 weeks for recuperation, everything, you need the time. And you don't want to do it in the way that it's shown by the doctor, then it's your fault. So here also concepts are shown and they are taught, but they will take time. And the way that is supposed to be followed, you come, you search, try and understand. And over a period of time, sometimes it takes 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, after that regular visits that you have come in, now your mind opens out. Otherwise, you may just sit there and your mind may not open. One person is sitting, Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, imagine, the Buzrug, the greatest Buzrug of that time. He is sitting there, and he's not seeing any fun. Hazrat, I'm sitting here with you for 4 years, 5 years, and no improvement. I'm sitting with you, and I'm sitting with you for 5 years, but no improvement whatsoever. So Hazrat Junayd rahmatullahi alayhi just worked it out, asked him, by you coming here, what's your intention? What's your intention? My intention is, like you're a Buzrug and you are dispensing hidayat all over to people far and wide, tomorrow I'll become a Buzrug and I'll dispense hidayat, you know, I will go and cover the world. So that's your problem. Your problem is, you hardly have passed your childhood and you're thinking of becoming a grandfather. You're dreaming of becoming a grandfather when you haven't even passed your childhood. So you have to go in stages. Now imagine a child, right, he's 5-6 years of age, and he's dreaming to be a grandfather. Is that going to be healthy for him? It's going to be very unhealthy for him. He needs to grow up from his childhood, get up to his teens, get mature, understand, see what his life all about, pass through that phase, then he comes into marriage, understand what marriage is all about, what are the difficulties, what are the problems, what are the situations that I have to face, circumstances, etc. He goes through all that, eventually now he understands what is to become a grandfather. One shot from the age of 6, he wants to reach there, he can't reach. So the same here as well, it's a mental development, and that mental development takes its time, it takes its toll. Don't think that you read one kitab, one zikr, a little bit here, one tasbihat, and all these concepts have been covered. Don't ever think like that. It takes its time. For that concept to be developed, to be built in, to be established, it takes a lot of time. Otherwise one halat will come, and you don't know how to confront it. One situation came, and everything in you, everything is just collapsed. Because you wanted to fast forward it from zero, you have to go right 200. Now, unfortunately, this is the mentality of many people in this day. From zero to 200, one shot, in 1 second. It's like a Ferrari car. You know, just from zero and just 200, you're going to push it up. So all these things will come, but they come with time. Now, why is it like that? And why the Buzrugan Adin don't take you from this zero to 200, one shot? Why don't they do it? Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullah alayhi, he's got a guest at a very awkward time. Now, for their own personal needs, his Buzrugani, they're not so worried. Generally, what they have, they just give it away. Right? But if they've got a guest now, they really become excited now. You've got a guest, and it is Allah Ta'ala sent, right? I can't send him like this. He came from so far. In the old days, and I talk about 700 years ago, right? Imagine a person came from Cape Town to come and meet me. And now, he's come here at a time I don't have anything to offer him. Now, how does he feel? In this day and time, it is quite different. People are coming from Cape Town or wherever, Zululand or wherever. Say, the street is right around the corner, carry on, enjoy yourself, right? But in that zamana, there's nothing like steers, nothing like Big Ben and Small Ben. Why? You have to arrange everything. You have to arrange everything. The person came to you at a very awkward moment. And more than concerned about himself, he's concerned about the guest. What can I do? I can't even beg anybody. I can't even ask for assistance. I'm in constraints myself. But I got a guest at the 11th hour. What do I do? So he's moving in his courtyard from one end to the other. Next door is the cook, like how we got Rafiq by here. Batyara. Batyara is the next door. So he made out there is some problem here. Allah put in his mind whatever, he brought a big tree of food and he gave it. The mu'af, that Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi felt so good, so relief. He saved me, man. Save my respect. Mehman I've got now, I don't know what to do with him. And he saved the day for me. Anyway, he fed him. The guest is very, very comfortable, relaxed, etc. After the guest is gone, now he comes up to that Bhatiara is the cook. Okay, what you have done, you know, I can't repay you. You know, I would have been really embarrassed in the face of my guest and I couldn't be of any service to him. Really, I would have been in a serious problem. I'm teaching you concepts. What I'm teaching you? Concepts. And concepts takes a lot of time. Don't think that you'll get it in one letter, in one email, one telephone call. You're not going to get it. And I tell you, you're not going to get it. You're wasting your time. It's going to be developed, and developed slowly, over time, over ages, it's going to be developed. Because all that wrong that was within your mind has to be undone. And the right must come in. And what will happen to you is, in one namaz, you got a lot of tawakkul, a lot of trust, and you're seeing Allah Ta'ala. And you say, I got it, I achieved it. And after 2 days, you see, you're back to square one. Now you felt that you had already acquired it. Now you didn't acquire it. It was just temporarily. Allah Pak just gave it to you for that second. Right? He just gave you for that second. So it was not your own. As though the pilot told you, just sit on my seat 1 second. Now because you're so naive, you felt, hey, I know what it is to be a pilot, you know. I am a pilot. So whereas the captain just gave you the privilege to sit there. So no, he's so and so's son. Let me allow you to sit here for the second. So he allowed you to sit there, and you in your naivety, what you felt, I'm already there. The captain see now is a serious thing, let's move off. Now you understood, hey, I don't know anything about the whole thing. So we are in that position. We are still learning the whole thing. So go gradually. In nahadha deen, this deen is difficult. وَلَيْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Not difficult, but it's not so easily controllable. You can't access the deen entirely in one go. You're going to be too hard. Then you'll fail, obviously. وَلَيْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. You're going to try and get the whole control in one go. You're going to fail. So you come slowly, come gradually. Come gradually. Be consistent, come gradually. How much you can manage, your capacity, your means, your strength, you come according to your capacity. You come according to your capacity, you can manage. Many a times I have to explain this to the youth. They got married. Overnight they want their wives also to become buzruks. Don't go here, don't do this, don't do this. Why? In everything, don't look at me, please. I have to tell people again and don't, in everything, don't look at me. Right? You have a family life, you have to run your family life. In everything you look at me, that is not going to be right. One lady was asking for a reference, right? Someone sent a proposal, say, you know the boy, said, I know him. Outwardly from what I know him, he's good, he's a good person. Now then she's asking, but if this youngster had come for a proposal for your daughter, would you have accepted him? I said, auntie, this is not right of you to ask this type of a question. So why? Now, she's a big educationist. She is now teaching, lecturing in the university. So it's not fair of you to ask this type of a question. So what she's asking, why? You see, when niche nahi bante aur na kisi ke niche aane ki chahte, ko chahte. They don't want to become humbled, and nor do they feel that they deserve to be down. You know, they need to be ruling. They need to be ruling all the time. So let them see, I don't like to say these type of things, but see, would you like your daughter to be going shopping all the time, driving around? Would you be liking your daughter and your son-in-law to be eating in restaurants? Say, I would like that. They must do it. It's part of their life. Say, I don't like this type of things for my children. Now you see, you asking this type of a question, it's not fair of you to ask this type of a question. Your standards may be different, my standards may be different. But are you asking me such a thing now, as though I have to expose all my domestic situation? And that's not right of me, as though I'm advertising my piety. It's not right of me to do it. But now the way you are asking, you are putting me into a constraint, to a tight corner. So I tell these people, by come, understand your capacity, understand your strength, and come gracefully, accordingly. So all the way, you will come with a love. You will come with a passion. You will come not with a grudge. But otherwise, you will say, Islam is so difficult. Islam is, you have to do this, you have to do this. Now, you are doing it with love or you are doing it with a grudge? How are you doing it? And when you are doing it with grudge, can there be any life and continuity in it? There is no life and continuity in it. Therefore, One person asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how do you fast? Nabi Sallallahu didn't like that answer, didn't like that question. He asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how do you fast? Nabi Sallallahu didn't like this question. Now, you may ask, why did Nabi Sallallahu express his disapproval? He expressed his disapproval, أَيُّكُمْ مِثْلِي. You don't have my strength. أَبِيتُ يُطْئِمُنِي رَبِّي وَيَسْقِينِ. Allah Ta'ala feeds me. In a divine way, Allah Ta'ala feeds me. In other words, He substitutes me. With the food that you eat, He substitutes me with that type of strength that I don't need to eat. But are you like me in that respect? When you're not like me, then why do you ask, how do you fast? You're supposed to be asking, how do I fast? Not how do you fast, because you don't have my strength. Now, you may say, you know, he asked a question and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed his disapproval. Yeah, you asked the question and you asked the question incorrectly. See? So you ask according to your capacity. Now you see some buzrug is doing this, someone is doing this, and straight away you want to imitate him. But do you have the capacity? You don't have the capacity, you don't have it. Finish. Khalas. Cut off the story. You do and you work according to your capacity. So this deen is not difficult really. But yes, you didn't know how to approach it. And because you didn't know how to approach it, therefore you felt it was difficult. But if you knew how to approach it, then there won't be any difficulty. You're coming gracefully, you're enjoying the ride. Coming in. Today you're reading 2 rakats, then 4 rakats. Then you want to sit for 1 hour in tahajjud, then 2 hours. Now you're coming in with a grace. You're coming in with love, with enjoyment. But I tell you from today you must sit up 1.5 hours for tahajjud. One day you can do it, 2 days. Mawlana, why is this one to close? Then, if I'm a stupid, I said, no, take that keep awake tablets. Stabilizes, and you'll come up. And then after a few days, Mawlana, I don't get my sleep properly. Now go to a psychiatrist. That's stupidity. See? So how to manage the person and manage the person that he can continue. Islam is not just for a day, not just for 2 days. Hazrat Ji Muhammad Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, such a great personality of our times. But in his studying days, he used to exert himself. Hazrat Muhammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah heard about him exerting himself. And he says, what you're going to exert yourself only for your studies. Remember, your real study days come after your studies. You may have to teach kitabs and all, that's your real time. Now you're going to exert all your energy now. What's going to be left for that time? So you see the consistent plan of consistency. So they want you to come and come and come. And your passion, your love, your motivation, your enthusiasm, your yearning must just increase all the time. All the time, everything, you're just cutting off and you're coming in. You're throwing away and you're coming in. You're throwing away and you're coming in. Now that is the plan that Allah Pak wants of you. لَا يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Hadith says again, that the person that is galloping his horse at a full speed, he needs to travel from here to Ladysmith at a full speed he's traveling, right? So that he says he won't reach his destination and he's not at home. Imagine where he is, he's nowhere. Nothing will manage at full speed, he'll manage say 10 kilometers, full speed you're putting it, right? After that, then he's exhausted. Now it had a limitation, and you took it right to the limit. Right? The limit was say 70 k's. That was a limit, the best limit of a horse, for example. Put it right to the limit. That thing went, and it went for example 100 kilometers. After that, can it manage? So it's not neither at home, and nor has it reached its destination. You're in between. So you, in other words, Adi is saying you're in suspense. You are in a state of desperation. In a state of despondency, you become despondent. So you move and move gracefully. Come. Come gradually. Come gracefully. We are talking of Hazrat Bakhtiyar, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi. Many a times I should think now, Hazrat has told his story to me how many times? 10 times, 12 times he told his story. But why? He repeated this story so that we learn concepts. And that concept must go deep within you so you understand things in right perspective. Right. So one thing may take you 5 years to learn, 10 years, 20 years to learn. You may get one thing, but after 20 years. Now, we don't think to ourselves, you know, I failed for 20 years, after 20 years I got it. It was an effort in the right direction. So it's not a failure. It's an effort, and the effort was driven in the right direction. So this is a concept that is being passed on. And the concept that is being passed on is not just to learn something, but that thing must become your nature. It's not an examination. When Allah Ta'ala had tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, it was not just to see the person's retention power. What is the retention of his memory? In an examination, what they do? They just see your retention. What is the ability, your mental retention, your memory? What is that ability? That's all they look. Or they look, alright, they got a problem, then how are you going to fix it up? Is there anything beyond that? They present a problem to you, have you got the abilities, have you got the tools to fix it up? Or they look at your retention. These are the two things that they will look at. So this is not just an academic thing. It's not just to do with theology, or it's not just an academic thing. It is how you're going to conduct yourself in a situation. You are caught up in a situation, how are you going to conduct yourself? Now imagine, if I told you in advance this is going to happen, right? Today, see here, I'm going to test you today, and you know, you'll be going across, there'll be a girl here, and you must be careful because this is your examination. So that's a drama, I'm already telling you in advance this is what's going to happen, and this is how you're going to conduct yourself, then I will pass you after that. But it came in, and it came in without expectation. You didn't even expect it to come. You caught unawares. How are you going to behave? How are you going to conduct yourself at that moment? You know, unawares, totally unexpected. One is, you have already staged the drama already. This person is going to tell you this, and this is how you're going to respond, right? So that's like a drama, like how they have Shakespeare, etc. It's a drama. They tell you what you're going to do, what that person is going to do, and it's staged out. So you know it's just a drama. But one is, you caught unawares, unexpected. How are you going to behave in that situation? You don't know what's going to happen afterwards. You know what's the outcome. So that's the real imtihan, and that's the imtihan that Ibrahim alayhi salam was put through. Right. At the time that he cherished and he loved his son at the most, balagha ma'ahu sa'ya, he could carry out errands with the father. That is the time that the father cherishes. Hey, this youngster now, he can work with me. He's my right hand. He's my support. I can rely upon him. Right. At that time, Allah Ta'ala says, put the knife over the throat. So the man is caught off guard. Now that's an examination. The examination is not just learning a few facts or putting a problem before you and asking you to fix it up. No, that's not a problem. The problem in our situation will be, you came in from a hard day's work, you know, and you were looking forward to a hearty meal, very hearty meal, a hard day's work, and you put in 2,000 rand in your wife's hand as a gift. And then, and you say, where are the meals? Go help yourself. There's curry kisi lying 1 week in the fridge there. Just eat up and eat it yourself. How would you feel? Now that response, at that situation you're going to see now, ke Hazrat ki ka gussa ka kya hal hai? What is the level of the Hazrat's anger? Can he restrain himself? Can he stop himself on the track? Say, no, Alhamdulillah, you know, Sahaba Kiram, they went with just one khajur. And sometimes the leaves of the trees. Yeah, I still got curry kichri. I can just warm it up and eat it up. If I don't feel happy with that, I can still have a cup of tea. I can prepare that thing. I have some biscuits. Keep myself comfortable. Alhamdulillah. Are you going to have this response or this? Now that's the examination. You see, we think examination is only to do with academics, retention, or getting a problem together, sorting it out. That's not the examination. Examination is, it's gonna test your level of tolerance. What's your tolerance? What's your endurance? That's the examination. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, Ibrahim alayhi salam passed right through. Old town is against him, they want to throw him out. No problem, throw me out, it's alright. Salamun alaykum. Salams to you people. I'll still make dua for you, my dear father. I will still call you my respected father. Ya Abati. I will not lose respect for you. So, a holistic approach, one side to talk to the father with respect. The father has thrown him out of the house. To still make dua for him, to still have a respectable approach towards the father, and to still be concerned about his jannat. Not to forget him entirely. Not to lose the respect for that moment. See, that is the real examination. So, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. And then Allah Pak says, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Now, I post you to that position of imamat, where you will be dispensing hidayat to others as well. See, that you have got that tolerance. You can withstand a situation. Any situation is presented before you can take it. It's not like a material examination. Material examination, you know, at the end, 8,000 rand, 10,000 rand, 1 million rand coming up, right? You know, you've got the expectation. It's not that. Everything here is in credit. It's not coming cash. Everything is put on the credit. Only after you died, you're going to see that. But Allah is watching you all the time. He's watching your moves. What's the levels? How's the sabr? How's the patience? Can you withstand this type of a situation, that type of a situation? Can you take it on? Can you take this 1 year on? So when you pass like this, Allah Ta'ala progresses you thereafter. He says, no, this banda of mine, see how well he's doing in this department. Let me take him to a higher department. And then you put him to that department, and he's moving again, and he shows his sabr and his patience, and how firm he is dedicated to you. Allah Pak pushes him up again. So this progress comes on in that way. When he posts you in a certain department, then how firmly committed you seem to be in that situation. He will not just take you up like that. He needs to see what's the levels. What's the level of commitment? How do you withstand? You in a situation, you're all girls, young girls now. How are you going to withstand that type of a situation? Are you going to feel for them? Is there going to be any lust? Is there going to be any feelings? Or you will say to yourself, you will have a sort of a legitimizing approach. So what's wrong? Girls are girls. Now they are human beings. I see them all the time now. I don't have that feeling for them. You will have that legitimizing approach, or you will still feel remorse. I'm not supposed to be looking at them. I'm not supposed to be communicating with them casually. There is some level of appeasement. There is some level of lust in the heart. So Allah is going to watch all this. What type of a response? You know, I deal with them all the time, so I become immune. But had you only become immune, you wouldn't have had to have a wife. The fact that you have to have a wife shows that you're not immune. So this type of an approach, Allah Pak is watching, because Allah Pak's focus is at the heart. Alimun bi dhati sudur, he's watching there. All the time, he's throwing you in a situation, and then he's watching what's the heart. He's throwing into a situation, and he's watching what is the heart like. Again he puts into a situation, again he watches what's the heart. In this situation, how is he acting? How is he behaving? How is he conducting himself? He's conducting himself well, and he's pushing you to another stage. And you're conducting yourself right, again he's putting you to another stage. So he's progressing you, but he's progressing you in this manner. All the time he's watching your heart. So we're talking of this Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi. And with his barakat, we are talking all this, right? So he saw the guest, right? Qutbuddin Sahib is very, very excited, very, very grateful, very, very grateful to this Bhatiyara, to this cook. Very, very grateful to me. You saved the day for me. What would have happened, you know? This guest came from all the way from Cape Town, and I don't have anything to offer him. And I would have been in a very, 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 very embarrassing situation, but you just saved the day for me. So he says, "Mang jo kuch mangna hai, whatever you need, whatever you need to ask, ask for it." Now that moment of acceptance, everybody can perceive. You can see now, at a moment you're asking Allah Ta'ala, and suddenly the tears just rolling down the cheeks, right? And you can see now your heart is totally towards Allah Ta'ala. Tears are going through. What you're asking for is the right thing. So these are signs of acceptance that what you're going to ask at this moment, Allah Pak is just going to answer it. So he also must have perceived now this is a moment of acceptance. So let me just give it to him. Because he's done an act of favor to me. He has done a favor to me. So I need to respond. Mang jo kuch mangna hai. Ask whatever you need to ask. So he says, Hazrat, bas apna jaisa bana de. Make me like yourself. Make me like yourself. So as Qutbuddin Sahib said, ask something else, don't ask for this. This is a difficult thing. So no, Hazrat, I want this. Again he insisted, but ask for something else. This is a little bit beyond your reach. So no, you gave me your word. And your word is your honor. Now, the Busugaladi, they live a very tight life sometimes. On the one side, he knows it's a moment of acceptance. On the other end, he's given him his word. Now to withdraw, to take back the word is very difficult. But he knows that this is not the right thing for this person. But now how do you get the both working together? So now you ask for it and you're begging for it. Now I can't take back my word. I can't retract. So he brought him into his apartment and made dua. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And they got up. As both of them left the room, people could not differentiate who's Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki and who's the Bhatiyara. So identical, even the approach, in every respect, they are both identical. Absolutely identical. Whatever he had, he passed it on. Right. But the only difference was that this Bhatiyara, this cook, he had a wobble in his walk. He couldn't walk straight. Because this man here, he earned whatever he earned over 60 years. And the 60 years, what he's earned, he's passing on to this person here overnight. One in 4 hours, he's passing it on. So the man can't take it. He can't take it. Like a bodybuilder, right? He's picking up, say, 200 kgs. Now, you ask someone, did bodybuilding for 1-2 days, put the thing up. Maybe for just for a second, he'll just pick it up, then he'll break his back, isn't it? He doesn't. Now this person, he built himself up. After a year, 2 years, whatever supplements and all he took, and he came up to that point. This person here, he didn't take anything, he didn't go through the motions, and straight away he was to come up here. So it happened that he took 2-3 steps, and he collapsed and he died there. But why he died? Right? His death was written, right? Whatever it is, on the scene of the Akhirat, alright, he died as a Buzruk, as Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki, rahmatullah, death. On that side, he scored, right? That he lived as a cook, and he died as Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kakiram. That side, he scored. But the physical side, the worldly, material side, what was the cause? He took on more than what he could manage, and he asked for it. So you won't blame Qutbuddin Sahib Rahmatullah. He had given him his word, and it's difficult for him to retract the word. And the man insisted, I want that, whatever it is, give it to me. On the one side, it's a blessing, right? That he lived as a cook and he died as the wali of the time. But what was the physical cause for this? So that is why, this Buzruganadin, when they are taking you, they're taking you gracefully. They understand what's your capacity, what's your strength, right? Come here, right? Half the time talking of idhar udhar ki baat hai. What happened in America, South Africa, whatever happened here, Malaysian plane, that's all the nonsense that people are talking about. And then suddenly they want to become a Buzruk. 5 minutes left, just have to round up now. Let's talk about some Islam now. So that's the type of commitment people come up with. Somebody's talking about the Oscar story. Oscar, this happened. And now it's an embarrassing situation. The man has gone through the whole video clip and he's telling me about it. But as a guest, now you can't even tell the person what you're talking about. It's nonsense. You're not supposed to talk like this. He's my guest, now I can't tell him about it. And with that type of mindset be coming in, and suddenly you'll become like Buzruks. You see the stupid mentality we have got. And then where you want to go. So the mentality has to be right. The approach has to be right. When you, in your business, what do you say? I'm not running a barber shop. I'm not running a charity shop. I'm doing a business. It's my business hour. You come committed, you come with a sense of responsibility, you come with a focus, you take the stuff and you move. Don't you have that approach? So Allah Ta'ala also says, that wasa'alaha sa'ayaha. That mihnat, that effort that you're doing, that effort must be also right. Then this is, if that is not a barber shop, then this obviously can't be a barber shop. Here you have to be even more concerned. You have to be even more focused. Because this is a question of not just life and death. It's a question about eternity. It's not just life and death. Life and death, alright, everybody has to go through the processes, right? But this is a question about eternity. It's your eternal life. Whether it's eternal damnation or eternal salvation. One of the two. Damnation or salvation. Eternity. So one is this, that is the effort corresponding, is the effort right as well? And the second thing Allah Ta'ala wants, arad al-akhirah. Intention is also right. Intention, there mustn't be any flaw in the intention. One is the effort must be right. And number two is your intention also must be right. You must be spot on as far as your intention is concerned, as far as your action is concerned. Effort is right. At Qurbani time, you can't be slaughtering one chicken and say, Allah Pak, I made an effort, I spent the money, I bought one chicken, I slaughtered it, Allah Pak, do accept it from me now. You see, Allah Pak, I made the effort. Is the effort right? Effort is not right. You made an effort, but that effort, was it right? Right. You went and performed namaz in any old way, just came to the masjid, any direction you wanted, you just made 500 rakats in 2 days. Right? Is that accepted? No. That effort has to be right, no matter what, but that effort has to be right. So the one side is the effort. Effort has to be right. We know in our business it applies. In our children's education, we know it applies. In every other facet of our lives, we know it applies. I tell many of the parents nowadays, what I'm not supposed to be saying. That if your child is working for the matric exams, right? Will you press him that, you know, we'll only go for 3 weeks for Umrah and come back? You know, he's got just 2 months left for exam, final exams. Will you press him to join yourself for Umrah 3 weeks, 4 weeks and come back? Will you press him? Why won't you do that? Because you know it's going to impact upon his results. Yeah, going for Umrah, Mawlana. 3 weeks off from holiday, we're going for a deeni thing, you know, going for 3 harams we're going. So that matric exams was even more important. than your Umrah. Right? That matric exam was more important than your Umrah. But was the ta'lim that you are taking, dini ta'lim, more important, or your Umrah was it more important? There you compromised. Because it's deen now, you know, today you didn't get it, tomorrow you'll get it. You didn't fix it up today, tomorrow you'll fix it up. One person, big port of India, you know. So, the ports now, they're always looking for some mazmoon, you know, some subject. The word must just rhyme, get it just right, you know. It's a subject that I'm targeting, it must just come right. So many a times, he's in the namaz and he's just got it right. When he got it right, he'll break his namaz, write the poetry quickly and come back into the namaz. So he says, because you know, I just got it now, with so much of difficulty I got it. If I'm not going to record it straight away, then I'll lose whatever I've got. So I'd rather just write it down. Namaz I can always read again. If I don't get it, I'll make it qaza also, it's alright. See, that's the attitude we have towards deen. And then you still say, now, Jannatul Firdaus, you want. You see, is the effort right? I ask you, is that effort right? You want, like in a shop, you want 1 million rand, you know, every day you must make 1 million rand, 30 million every month it must make, right? That's your target. But you're coming, lazy, relaxed, coming 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, giving half the price, quarter the price, free of charge, for you, alright, no moment, sadqa for you. You're gonna make the target. I ask you, you're gonna make the target? No. That effort must be right. So in dunya, our brains work, that effort must be right. So in deen, I ask, do you not need to make the right type of an effort? If you needed to make the right effort in your dunya, then can't you apply the same principle upon your deen? So the simple way in deen is, don't take a chance. In anything, you've got a small doubt, 1% doubt, 2% doubt, don't take a chance, go and find out. Find out exactly. And the easy way to find out, when Mawlana came, he said, no, I mean, this area here, and there's continuous debate between the ulama there and that, whatever. So I explained to him, see, what you do is if you can correct that alim, because you are Mawlana, if you can correct him and you feel he's going to be receptive, he's going to enjoy your advice, you advise him. But if you feel some type of a resistance that he's not going to accept you, then you make dua for him and you continue. Number one. Number two is, you need a guide, right? Every person needs a guide, whether an alim or not an alim, you need a guide. Between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person that you feel that is most suitable to guide you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all affairs, be it in tasawuf, etc., be it in islah, for example, be it in masail, you need someone to guide you. So between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel that this is the right person. Say for example, Allah ta'ala asked you, did you have a guide? We didn't know it, so you needed to ask. So did you have a guide? So he said, ya Allah ta'ala, the person that I felt that was most competent, that's God-fearing, that's conscious about you, and he was focused, so Allah Pak, I went up to him. So if you didn't have that person, that means you got 100% there, right? So Allah Pak wants this two things, that did you choose the right guide? If you don't know it yourself, then find out from someone. Between you and Allah Ta'ala, you felt that was the most competent person. Your obligation ends up at that point. Right? So, if you are in that type of a situation, then you just look for guidance. And the guidance is in the way I have explained to you. Then beyond that, you don't have to stress. Why is that Mawlana saying this? Why is this person saying this? You don't get involved in their arguments, their debates. Why you don't get involved in their debates and arguments? Because this of Bukhari Sharif says, وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيل وَقَال. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this qeel and qal, these discussions. Qeel, qal got three explanations. What is discussion? Getting into frequent discussions. Discussions about this, discussion about that. We think it's very healthy. Getting into a discussion is very healthy. No. Many a time the discussion is totally futile. Absolutely futile. Like I say, Oscar case and everybody's debating. Oh, that Oscar was right, the girlfriend was right. So that's the debate all about. And who is the judge? The judge in many cases may be a lesbian woman, right? She's a judge. Many cases going to be a lesbian woman, right? So he said, oh, the judge was right. So it's all like, you know, all monkeys sitting around, and you are the judge over the monkeys. So leave them. It doesn't concern your deen, doesn't concern your akhirah. You just leave them. You don't worry about them. Why? You will leave them because Nabi Sallam didn't like qeel wa qal. He didn't like you to get involved into futile discussions. What do you mean by futile? Thing that was needed, then you get into it. Thing that was not needed, then don't get to it. Either it's beyond your capacity. I can't understand beyond this, I'll leave it out. You just tell me it's halal or haram, and let me carry on. Because beyond this, I can't understand. You tell me the integrity is, you tell me all this, the finer details, I can't understand that. Just tell me whether it's permissible or not permissible. But you look for the right person. The person that is right between you and Allah Ta'ala, you find that this is the right person. Hang on to him, hold on to him, latch on to him firmly and carry on. Then close your eyes on everything else. Because there's not going to be end to any discussion. He'll say this, he'll say something else, the third person will say something else, and you're going to carry on. So your whole life will be just surrounded with discussions. Have you made any progress? You need to come to Kaaba Sharif not to get involved into discussions. So that's the one meaning of discussion, qeel wa qal. The second meaning of discussion and qeel wa qal means to relate a lot of reports, to give a lot of reports, you know. Alright, this is an incident and this is his report, this is the report of the second person, that person reporting like this, fourth person reporting like this. Right. Now, when you are reporting so much of information, right, then are you quite sure that you're going to be able to deduce the right conclusion? Are you at that position? For you to be able to make the right type of decision at the end, you need to have that type of a mind. When you don't have that type of a mind and that type of understanding, then is it the right thing for you to give so much suggestions? So this person said this, this person said this, this person said this. You're quoting so many quotes, but do you have the ability to show which is the preferred opinion and which is not the preferred opinion? Do you have that ability? When you don't have that ability and you're saying that, alright, the majlis said this, Sana said this, the Jamiat said this, so and so said this, right? But I ask you, when after collating all that information, do you have the ability to suggest and to decide which is right, which is preferred and which is not preferred? Have you got that ability? You don't have that ability, just leave it out. You just go to one person. But Nabi Sam didn't like this. Qeel wa qal. Qeel wa qal, he didn't like you to get into it. So either futile discussions, one meaning. The second meaning is to get into this type of discussions, to quote one person after the other, third person, the fourth person, where you don't have the ability to research the thing and arrive to the right type of conclusion, that you just hold on to one person or two persons that you feel that are most competent between you and Allah Ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, you can't present him. Say, Allah Pak, I held on to him because I felt that that person was most competent and I seen him thoroughly and therefore I held on to him. That is sufficient for your defense. Because the hadith says, فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ أَفْتَىٰ. After that, the responsibility shifts on to the person who guided him. It's not your responsibility. You have done your responsibility. Why do you get into this discussion? You went into this discussion. What happened after that? Now, you are labeling this person here. You're making false allegations against this person here. You're making ribat of that person. You're running down this person. You are disrespecting that person. Did you get anything out of it? What have you got out of it? Nothing you have got. Besides making allegations, accusing, making ribat, insulting, humiliating, embarrassing. Do you get anything out of it? And that is the worst form of riba. You know, you talk of interest, like 36 times committing zina. But insulting and embarrassing a Muslim is worse than riba. Then imagine you are embarrassing and insulting an alim, how much more worse is it? So you take on to one, two persons, whoever you feel very firm, you just hold on to them and carry on. Leave the discussion. So this discussion comes, where it comes in, as a result of us, our curiosity. We want to know, alright, who's calling the shots now? What the majlis said, how he punched this person here? And how Sana, how did they respond to it? So it's our curiosity, and it's our longing to listen to this type of discussions that bring us into this point of sin. That sin was brought on to us because of our curiosity. But if we really wanted the fact, we'll just find the fact and move on. Like a person, imagine you want to know the fact, right? You are pulling into Springer Beach, say 12:15 or 12:20, right? And you know the masjid is going to be starting at 12:30. And you don't know the road to the masjid. What you'll do? Bhai, you'll be in a panic state. But you'll see someone that is reliable, someone got a beer or something, reliable, but he just told me to show me the masjid. Will you enter into a dialogue with that person? Bhai, what's your proof that that's the road to the masjid? Who told you? You are from Springer Beach. Are you a Muslim? And do you perform all your 5-time namazes? And do you look at women? You look at television? Will you ask him 10 questions? Or you'll feel that that person is the most authentic, reliable person. You'll take the information and move on. So if you've got the concern, you just take the information and you move on. But a person doesn't have that concern of the akhirat, and this is what he will engage into. See, Nabi Sahib didn't like that with Ummat. And see what we are engaging in. Really, what we are engaging at the end of the day, when we are adding the whole thing up, what it's amounting to is we insulting someone, either verbally or in our hearts and our minds. Or either we're disrespecting someone. Or either we falsely making accusations against someone. Is that supposed to be the grandeur, the splendor, the way of a Muslim? I ask you, is that the way of a Muslim? Not the way of a Muslim. We found our information. If anybody is entering into that type of a discussion, if it is within our control, say, bye. You know, I'd rather take you to Wimpy and give you an ice cream. It's more sawab for me than getting into this. It'll cost me. Wimpy, I'll go there. Maybe 100 rand, I'll give you all ice creams. That is more enjoyable for me and for you than engaging in this type of a discussion, because you're going to lose your deen. There your respect for your ulama will not be lost. And in this type of a situation, I ask you, will your confidence, your respect, will it be secured or will it be lost? When it's lost, then what's your link to the deen? Between you and Allah Ta'ala, what's your link? Your link is the ulama. And when you've broken up your link, now have you got any link? Anything to connect you to Allah Ta'ala? Nothing to connect you. So your link and your connection, you look after it. Like it's your electricity, right? Your water. How protective you are. How concerned you are. You are very concerned about it because you know what's the consequence going to be if that thing interrupts. You know what's going to be. So this is the first thing. Wasa'alaha sa'ayaha. You're making an effort, but you're making the right effort. And the second thing that the Quran Sharif says, man arad al-akhirah. Your intention must be right. See, one is the effort must be right. You don't have a barber shop, it's not a charity shop, it's not a, you're running a deen. So you have to be concerned, you have to be focused. And the second is this, that your intention must be right. Many a times, the regrets that you have, the sorrow that you have, is on account of your intention not being right. Now, I want to get my child educated. Why? Tomorrow my child will become a doctor. When he becomes a doctor, he'll become so wealthy. When he becomes so wealthy, then he'll take me everywhere, he'll buy a house for me, he'll take me for a ride, and he'll give me a joy type of a life, you know. So I'll make every effort to make this child a doctor. Why? I want to see that type of a very grand life. Now that child, really, to your word, he became a doctor. But the moment he became a doctor, his wife came into the scene and said, you know what, you are making the effort. You make the effort, we must enjoy. Your father made the effort, he must enjoy. He is not in our life and we are not in his life. We are not part of him. Now the father is sitting and is remorseful. You know what effort I didn't put to get this child right. And today he has forgotten me. But was your niyat right? Your niyat was material. His niyat is material, right? So he sees that his material is being crushed, smashed down if he goes with you. Every now and then this old man, you have to look after him. So 1,000 rand, 10,000 rand, our money is getting wasted. We need to look after ourselves, my wife and my child. We just got enough groceries and all for him is enough now. He can continue with his life. So the father's right niyat wasn't right. What he's seeing is an aftermath of his poor intention. Has his intention been right, then the consequences would have been right for him. But his intention is not right, so he's seeing this type of a dark day. Not because the child was wrong, but it's a result, it's a consequence of your wrong intention. Intention was right, the child would have come right as well. The more times of Rahman explained, in the old days, what used to happen, people used to send their children to England, you know, to study all, because they didn't have universities and all that. So someone's child to become an engineer, architect, whatever, they would send them to England. Father spent about 10 million, that zamana, 10 million to get the child educated with all the degree on, very, very high qualified. He came back. In the next month, the child went into a very serious illness, brought him right to the edge of death. Father is sitting at the death, at the headside, say, you know what, I spent upon you, I spent a fortune upon you, 10 million I spent. I thought, you know, we'll have a joy of a life. What a great life we'll have. Now, all my money, everything I spend is just wasted. So this child has still got some life in him. He says to father, Abba, daddy, whatever, he says, don't mourn and don't regret over the money that you have spent upon me. You regret over the fact that you have wasted my time. Now the scenery of the akhirat is opening out to me. I can only see darkness. This is where you have taken me to. You have taken me. All your effort was just directed to this. Your intention was just to have a good life. Nothing else. So I got that degree. I got that type of a qualification. I graduated like you wanted me to graduate. But what you left for me is just darkness. Nothing but darkness. So correct your intention. At least I can do this type of a favor. Never mind, it's not too late. You correct your intention and you come right now. The path is ending up for me, but hasn't ended up for you. So you correct yourself. Inshallah, you can have and enjoy a better future. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.